Jesus. Us, they will only fall to the ground. Because God is God. We need to remind ourselves that He's God. The world thinks that they're in control. No. Our God has got it all in the palm of His hands. We just thank Him. We just praise Him. Father, all over the building, we want to say thank you, Lord. We want to say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, God. We're so Lord, we just open this service with praise in our hearts this morning. We've come to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we've come to enter in. Lord, we've come to press in into the things of God this morning. We've come to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. May I begin? Pastor David? Yes? That means keep on going. Amen. I like it. All right. Well, let's stand to our feet and let's bless the Lord this morning. Amen. His love endures forever, for he is good, he's above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love. That we can believe it, that we are recipients of it. God, your love endures forever. Thank you. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, one thing that we have learned, Lord, even through this conference, is that we need your Holy Spirit now more than ever. Father, we need your presence now more than ever. Lord, in our churches, God, in our homes, Lord, in our community. And Lord, this morning we just welcome you, Holy Spirit, in this place. Oh God, in our lives this morning, we welcome you. We welcome you. Thank you. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence, sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. It's your presence, Lord.
Your glory, God, is Creation groaning,
Lord, you're righteous in all your ways. Holy, he is holy. Holy. Jesus. Thank you. In our hearts. Yeah. But Lord, we want that glory. Lord, the church needs a visitation. A holy visitation. Lord, it's in your presence. Lord, we're made new. Decree and a declaration that we need the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we want it to be known that we want you and that we need you. And we're not concerned about what others think. Lord, it's our desire only to please you. So Lord, it's in your presence. It's in your presence. Your presence. Your presence, God, is what we long for. Your presence.
one with God the Lord Most High. In glory and creation, now revealed in you our cross. What a beautiful name.
What a powerful name it is.
Jesus, what a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus, what a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Join me in making a declaration here. Are you ready? I mean, seriously, let's make a declaration. Let's let the forces of darkness know that Jesus has no rival. There's no one. There's no one that can stand against him. Ready? Let's do it. You have no rival.
You have no equal.
Lord, our hope Jesus.
Heart and leave me in love to those. Oh,
is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cry, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, holy, you will always be, holy, holy forever, you will always be, holy, holy forever.
Yes, Lord. Holy. Holy. Holy forever. Thank you, Lord. Father, one of these days, we will sing that song. You are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. And we will proclaim, you will reign forever and ever and ever and ever. You shall reign forever. Holy forever.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Come on, let's lift our voices and we sing, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God.
How great is our God. How great, how great,
how great is our God. Sing with me.
Sing, how great is our God. sings my soul, my Savior, run to thee.
To them, and we were broken, but we were broken in a good way to know that with God, it's going to work out for the good. You may not be able to see it. You may not feel anything good. You may cry every day, but it's going to work out for the good. Because there's a scripture that says, light came into the world, but the darkness did not overcome it. It can never overcome the light. And the light is Jesus.
Yes.
And the darkness is the devil. The devil loses, Jesus wins.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. I just want to encourage you with that.
Yes.
So thank you for what you have done. We bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a little clip we're going to, you guys are going to show. Hopefully it'll translate well. And it'll give you a little glimpse, just a little glimpse, of some of the things we've seen. There's a lot more, and a lot of things we don't show because it's too greedy. And you don't want to think about that. But our Father, who is faithful, he's trustworthy, and our Lord Jesus Christ, they have promised us they will come for us. We will not be left orphans. A new day will come.
Amen.
The light will shine, and it will never go out. It'll shine brighter than it's ever shined
Amen.
Before. Seven times brighter than the sun right now. Don't be discouraged. Don't let depression and oppression get you down. We're living in this place. Doesn't feel good. It's not a place you want to go to or be, but we know we're called here. We're chosen to be here. And here's something somebody asked me one time. We have 4 life centers, plus a camp. Large area of land and buildings. And people have asked us, how is it that no bombs, no bullets, no people have been hurt at your facilities? They were asking me, like, suspiciously, are you a spy or something? I said, we pray.
Amen.
We pray and God hears our prayers.
Yes.
We ask him to help us and he helps us.
Yes.
So we want to encourage you, pray. Don't stop.
Right.
Intercede. Press in.
Yes.
God will hear your prayers.
Yes.
He
yes.
loves those that they just, they're tenacious
yes.
in their prayers. They're tenacious. They don't let go. They do believe. They trust to the very end.
Yes, yes.
Brothers and sisters, in the end, God wins.
Yes.
The devil wins.
Yes.
And all of his demons.
Amen.
And all of God's people live in glory forever.
Amen.
Be encouraged. Be strengthened, be strong. Father, bless our brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus Christ. Strengthen their hearts. Let them not be discouraged. Fill them with joy. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Let them have a conference that just speaks to their hearts the things they need to hear right now. And heal those that need to be healed. And renew their strength. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 God bless you all. We love you very much.
Love you guys.
Have a great conference.
Yes.
Wish we could be there. Hopefully next time.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get up in the morning and we think about the ministry we're about to do. Should I have a tie? Should I have a jacket? What should I wear? But when I have to put on the armor.
Thank you, Lord.
What God did through them over the years with those children, and now this takes place. You see what he said, don't let discouragement hit you.
Right.
Should be saying that to him.
We have nothing to be discouraged about.
No,
yes.
But I'd like to just pray for them.
Yes.
At this time. Father, we just thank you that you're on the throne.
Yes.
Jesus.
No matter how dark or evil a situation is, we know that you're still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the provider. You are the protector. You are the supply. And Father, I just pray for safety for their facility. I thank you that the angels are around and about them. You are their protection. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness to them. I pray over them, Lord. Lord, I know that even their adopted son, Lord, as he was wounded in the battle, you sustained him.
Yes.
And you kept him. I pray that every need they have, you will supply according to your riches and glory. And we ask, Lord God, as we just pray peace over that land. May peace come. May you change hearts. Nothing is impossible with you, God. The adversary that has come against them to destroy them, Lord, I pray that peace would come to that land in the name of Jesus Christ, who's our Lord. Amen, and amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it reminds me when I heard him say that we should not be downcast or even be worried. I thought about, again, Paul and Silas in prison, and they're just worshiping God, and God moves tremendously.
Yeah.
I believe that God has them there in this season and this time, no matter how difficult it is, that the glory of God is being revealed in a mighty way. And I've got to believe, and I do believe, that souls are coming into the kingdom because of them following the instructions from years and years ago. They had gone through terrible things to get them to move to the Ukraine. But my God brings good out of evil.
Amen.
And so just keep them in your prayers.
Yes.
And I'm so excited to... Am I okay to introduce our speaker? Okay, this time. He permits me to have the honor to introduce Alon to us again this morning. I was so excited about the word last night. I know that transition is not something that's coming. It's already here, and we're moving in this transition, and I just thank God for that word. It was timing for me. I needed to hear it, and I rejoice in it. So would you welcome the Christ that is in Alon this morning?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I hope you had a good night of sleep. I did, personally. Thank you for the worship. It was a real journey of just going through the heart of God in this worship. Really enjoyed it. And I was just saying myself, even if we would have only worship this morning, we have the service. You know? It was beautiful. And just the themes and what was given to our hearts through that. And, you know, worship is so important. And when we see the pictures we just seen, you know, you see the difference between what the darkness produces and what God is wants to release.
Amen.
You know, you see the brokenness and the hardships in this world, and you're stirred in your heart to ask the Lord to come and to establish his kingdom.
Yeah.
Because we were not created to live this. We were created to live in the glory with him.
Yes,
and him with us. I travel sometimes in very poor places, and it grips your heart. I've done a lot of work in Haiti. I was in Haiti 3 weeks before the earthquake in 2010. So I was there in December. The earthquake came in January. Pastor we were with there, his house fell on him, and he had the time to grab his little daughter in his arms, and he protected her, and the house fell on them. And so one of the elders of the church looked for the pastor, and he found them under the rubble, and they were able to clear all that, and so they were alive. And he was wounded, he had a broken leg, but he survived, and he's still serving the Lord.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
When you see these things, the hardships we go through,
yes.
and when I walk many times in the streets of Haiti, and you see the poverty, systemic poverty, the children suffering and all that, there's an anger that rises inside of you, holy anger, that says we were not created for that. That's not God's heart for us. That's evil. That's the darkness. That's the result of the work of Satan on the earth. And so it makes you cry out for the kingdom of God to come. And the righteousness be established, and peace, and Jesus to rule and to be manifested on the earth. And so that's really our desire. We want to see his glory come, because the glory had departed because of sin, and we want to see the glory come. So I wrote a little booklet on that, saying bringing back the glory, our apostolic mandate. Really, that's what we're about, that the glory of God may come back and change everything here. So you can have that here at the entrance. And I wrote also Heaven's Headquarters, which is a condensed form of Apostolic Centers, the book. Sometimes a little book is easier to read for some people, for most of people. And I also added, for more clarity, 15 differences between a traditional church and an apostolic center. So it really lines it out for you in a precise way. And this one here, God's Barak, the Barak, it means blessing, and it means to bless. It's more than a blessing, it's a force that God unleashes, and when that force comes into your life, it makes you prosper in every way. Not only in the finances, but in your life to advance in every aspect of your life. And God will never send you without giving his barak, without baraking you. It means he's releasing that force on you so that you can go with it. So that explains it all to you. And if you're a pastor and you want your people to know what it's about, tithes and offerings and all that, that also contains that. It's not the center of the book, but it's contained into it, and it can help you. And I think there's a book that is sold out, is The Glory of the Secret Place. So if you like that title and it's not there, all the books are available on Amazon. So really easy, type my name and apostolic, and they will come out, and they're really available right there. And that book, The Glory of the Secret Place, is really about one of the great passions of my life. You see, I write and I help to develop the apostolic mindset in the church, but that's not really my passion. I do that because it's useful to the body of Christ. It helps us advance to adjust our structures. My real passion is glory and intimacy. That's really the center of what makes my heart beat. And so you will find that in The Glory of the Secret Place. And I will talk about that this morning. I will talk this morning about glory and about the link it has with love. Love and glory. That's what I want to touch this morning. And so, because I want you to leave this convention with something that I want to give now, that impart to you something you can bring home with you. Amen? Hallelujah. So glad to be here in this house. And thank you, Pastor David and Debbie, for opening your spiritual house to us in this church. And I was just sensing in the worship something for you here again. And my thoughts were brought to Simeon and Anna in the temple. Not in the sense now of their age, but in the sense of the longing they had in their hearts.
Amen.
And it is said about Simeon, and I like those two, because one time the Lord sent them to me in a dream. My dreams are very real. And he sent them to me to bless me. It was a very precious time for me to meet them in a dream form. And so of Simeon, it says here that this man was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that on you, Dave. And what I see here that I want to tell you, I feel in my heart, is that you will see the desire of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you live to see what you long for. Don't you worry, you will see it. The Lord is bringing it to you. And then comes alongside this other lady who is Anna, and she was serving the temple, and she was worshiping day and night, fasting and praying. What an amazing woman, Debbie, you are. And I bless you, and I just got to know you, both of you. Well, I got to know David a little bit more now, but I just met you, Debbie, and that's what I feel. You are serving with your whole life the temple of the Lord here.
Yes, you are.
And your eyes will see the desire of your heart.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
I bless you with that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And I want to honor Eugene, the leader of GCMF here, Eugene Weaver. I told him yesterday that he was a true father. You know what an apostle is? An apostle is not the bigger boss. An apostle is not the one who lords it over the other ministries. It's not the one who commands and rules over other people. That's not what it's about. An apostle is a father who's willing to lay down his life for the children, for the next generation. That's what an apostle is, really. And this is the man who is right there. And we give glory to the Lord for a man of God. Amen. And I also want to honor Ted here, because in Canada he's doing a great work.
Amen.
And we have done many things together, and we have a good cooperation, and there's many churches in Canada and in Quebec with GCMF as well. Even one of our campuses, the leader of our campus, the pastor now, was once the leader in Quebec for GCMF. And I think he is kind of left that, but not really. He's always
he's still a director.
He can't leave, huh? Say, okay. So, I mean, when you find a good family, you don't want to leave.
Right.
So I bless you, Ted. I'm happy that you're here. And all of you pastors and leaders, and our bishop from Ghana, bless you, sir. So good that you are here. Amen. 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 So I want to talk this morning of this desire that God has for his glory to be with us, which is really about him being with us. See, God has a desire. From day one, when he created us, he wanted one thing. He wanted to dwell with us.
Amen.
And you see that in the garden, that he would come and he would walk with Adam. And there was a joy for him. That's what he was looking for. And the day that he came and didn't see Adam, he understood. He knew that something had happened. And you can almost hear the tears in his voice when he's asking, Adam, where are you? It's broken heart that we see in our Lord when he sees what had happened, because he understands there that the fellowship's been broken, that the privilege he had to walk with Adam would have to be postponed now for quite a long season. And actually, this broke the fellowship of glory with us. And he had to, for a time, put Adam and Eve outside of the garden and put a cherubim at the entrance of the garden with flaming swords to guard the entrance of the garden so man could not access it anymore. See, those cherubim are actually the guardians of the glory of God. If you would have time to study that, you would see that they are the guardians of the glory. They are the guardians of covenant as well. And so when they are there, no man can pass, because if you want to access the glory of God, you have to pass between the cherubim. But you cannot pass between the cherubim unless you have the blood. That's the only thing they consider. If you have the blood of the Lamb, you can pass. If you don't have the blood, you cannot pass. And so God placed them at the entrance of Eden, meaning that we are outside of the glory. And that's a real tragedy, to be outside of the glory. And our mission now, as servants of the Lord Jesus, is to bring back the glory with the sacrifice that Jesus did for us. He gave us that mission with the gospel so that the glory can come back. And that is a great, great longing in our hearts that has been shared by men of God before us, even in the old dispensation. Even King David, in Psalm 132, had that longing. He says here, and I read from NIV, I don't know if you like that version or not, but I'm French, so I just picked up that one here. Psalm 132, verse 2, David swore an oath to the Lord. He made a vow to the mighty one of Jacob. I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will allow no sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the mighty one of Jacob. You see, that was the longing of David. And that's why God said, he's after my own heart. That's what David was longing for. I want to find a place for the Lord, a resting place for his presence. You see, that's what we desire with our churches, with our ministries, to establish a place where the presence of the Lord can rest. Amen? That should be what really is burning in our hearts, to see his presence established in the midst of us. And if we have that longing, it's actually because this is lacking on this earth. And that's our big problem. The glory has departed because of sin. It is very clear and plain in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, that's a major problem on earth.
Yeah.
You see, the pain we see and the destruction we see is a result of that.
Yep.
That all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Which means that mankind in its natural state cannot coexist with the glory of God. It's not compatible, you see. And we see that in different times in the Bible. We see on one end God, who so desires to dwell with us, and on the other hand, that our condition prevents him to fully dwell in the way he wants. But his heart is so much to be with us that you see him again and again. It's like trying to come, you know? And though he meets with Moses, and he eventually says, Moses, build me a tabernacle. I paraphrase here, but please, build me a tent that I can dwell with my people. So Moses goes about and they build the tabernacle. And yes, God comes and he's besides himself. He's so excited and he comes with his glory and he fills the tabernacle. Yeah. And when he fills it, what happens is that Moses cannot even enter in. You see? Because all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. So that God goes out of himself, comes. Because he cannot hold himself anymore. He wants so much to be with us. He fills the tabernacle. But Moses cannot enter. You see? The goal of building the tent was that we would serve God. So when he comes, you cannot enter to serve him. That's a problem right there.
Yeah.
You see, Moses is outside of the glory. He watches it in the tabernacle like all the children of Israel. He could not even pass his hand inside. There's no space for flesh in that tabernacle, unredeemed flesh, because there's a separation between the glory and us. The same phenomenon happened when Solomon builds the temple. Again, all that trouble to build the temple, and the day he inaugurates the temple, the priests bring the ark inside, and as they go out, the Lord fills it with his glory, and they cannot now enter in to do the service to the Lord. Amazing. And Solomon is so beside himself, he starts to pray in front of the temple, just between the temple and the altar, and say, "Oh Lord," and he prays, and as he prays, the fire comes on the altar, and the temple is filled again with the glory. And nobody can enter, because you cannot have fellowship with that glory, because all has sinned, and even with the sacrifices, that's the state of humanity. Even when Jesus is transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, John, and James are there and they see. They see him talk with Moses and Elijah, which is another thought here that we can talk about. But he sees them and then the cloud comes. You see, they're in the glory. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus are in that glory. But Peter, John, and James are outside. They can just see it, but they cannot be inside of it. You see? And the voice comes from that glory, the voice of God. And you know that God, when he speaks it, he is not alone. It's the heavenly realm that has come for something. But the point is that Peter is outside. Cannot be, because this is before the cross. Cannot be inside of that glory. You see? And God desires so much to be with us. He states it by the prophet Habakkuk, or Habakkuk 2:14. He said, "The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the water covers the sea." See, that's an announcement that what will happen. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of his glory. So I have this question: if you come and fill the earth with your glory, and we cannot enter in that glory, where will we go? When you fill the earth with your glory, you see? Because we can only be on the side of it, we cannot be inside of it, because of the state of humanity. But here's the solution to that glory lost. It's the next verse in Romans 3:24. After it says that we have all fallen short of the glory of God, we are all justified freely by the grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Here's what God has done for us to be able to come have fellowship with us, dwell with us, that we can live when his glory come. Otherwise, when his glory comes, it pushes us outside. But now, with the redemption, with the blood that shed on the cross, he makes it possible for us to be with that glory. Hallelujah. And that's what you see happen the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
Because on the day of Pentecost, once more, it is the glory of God coming down. It is, and that glory, like in the tabernacle of Moses, filled the house, right? Like it filled the tabernacle, and on Pentecost, it filled the house. The sound of heaven came, and the wind, and the fire of heaven came. It filled the house where they were. But this time, when the glory came, instead of pushing the 120 outside, like it was in the past, now suddenly that glory comes, and when that glory meets the people who are there, it finds a place that has been sanctified inside of them, a place that has been purified, a place that the blood has touched. And when the glory comes and finds that place, instead of pushing people out, the glory comes inside of them. Hallelujah. And that's how it says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's how now we live with that glory, and we can say that Christ in me, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Why don't you give a clap offering to the Lord for that? Hallelujah. So the redemption that Jesus provided for us at the cross allows the glory of God to come back and to dwell with us.
Amen.
So it's no wonder then that just before going to the cross, when Jesus prays in John 17 to his Father, that he would talk a lot about the glory. Just before going to the cross, he talks about the glory in his prayer, because the effect of what he will do on the cross will bring back the glory for us. Amen?
Amen.
So we hear him pray, and he will give us keys here of the glory, especially one key I want us to look at this morning. He will go and go to the origin of the glory. Where does it come from? And we see that that glory was there even before the foundation of the world. In his prayer, he says in John 17, verse 5, he says, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began."
Amen.
Now that's interesting.
Amen.
Before the world began, Jesus had glory with his Father.
Amen.
So now we're touching the beginning of the glory. But before that glory, there's still something else that preceded that glory, that was there before that glory. If we keep reading in John 17, verse 22 now, "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one."
Yeah.
Verse 23, "I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and I've loved them even as you have loved me."
Yes.
Amen.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Now in verse 24, where's the real key I want us to grasp this morning? "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." Hallelujah.
Yeah.
"The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." You see, in verse 5 he said, "I want to be back with you in the glory I had with you before the world was created." And here he says, that glory, I'm talking here, Father, of the glory that you gave me because you loved me. Meaning that before you gave me that glory, you loved me. There was love before glory. Love precedes glory, or the glory is the result of love. Glory is a fruit of love. Love exists before it creates glory. Love is before glory. I mean, if you want to find glory, seek love. Hallelujah. Love is the source. Love is what is the essence that is in God that will produce glory. Glory actually is an expression of the heart of love of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for that. We need to grasp that, people. I mean, it's not about power. It's about love. Love precedes all that. Amen? And so we need to understand that the reason why God sent Jesus is because he loved us. See, we all know that verse, John 3:16, you know, that so God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that so loved the world. I mean, this is not just ordinary love.
Right.
He so loved, the extent of his love was that he sent his son Jesus. That's the reason why. You see, that there is love, and there is to love so much, you know. Like sometimes you see couples, you know, and you say, yeah, they love one another, you know. It's beautiful, and you feel also that you need to pray for them, you know. But others, you watch, and you're forced to say, they so love each other. They love so much. It's beyond, you know. And when you see people like that, you have a picture of God's love. He so loved us that he could not refrain himself. He could not contain himself.
Yeah.
He had to. That's what sent Jesus to come and die for us.
Yeah.
You see, We see God in many of his aspects of who he is. We say that God is holy. God is all-powerful. And it is true. But it's not the holiness of God that sent Jesus.
No.
You see? Actually, God doesn't need us to be holy. He is holy in himself without us.
Yes.
And actually, his holiness was what prevents us to go to him without the blood of Jesus. So it was not his holiness that sent, he didn't need to send Jesus to be holy. He's already holy.
Yes.
It was not his power that demanded that Jesus would come.
Right.
He's all powerful and his power obeys his will. Mm-hmm. Now the reason God sent Jesus is plain and clear. He so loved the world. So the coming of the Lord is the love of the Father to us that would restore the glory. Amen?
Yeah.
So we seek his love. Sometimes I'm worried that we forget that God is love and that our first mission is to enter into that love and express that love to him and to the world. Amen?
Yeah.
And so that love, when we enter into it, will always lead us to glory.
Amen.
I say that because everyone wants the glory. I mean, we desire to see the glory of God. I mean, and we should. And we want to see. We want it to come to the earth, right? But we need to seek love. Because that's where you find the source of that glory. And no wonder that when Jesus started his ministry, how did he start? In Luke 4, 18 and 19, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor, to bind the broken hearts, to heal." It's an expression of love. It says, "I've been sent to give the love of my Father to this world," right? In Isaiah 58, where it describes the kind of fast or fasting that God wants, you know, because we would fast and we would do this and we would, you know, go to some extent to come close to the Lord. And the Lord would say, "You want to fast? Let me tell you what I desire as a fast. In Isaiah 58, verse 6, he said, is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen?
Yes.
To loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, set the oppressed free, break every yoke. What is this? It's all about loving people.
Yes.
Isn't it to share your food with the hungry?
Yes.
See, the Lord says, this is what I look for. To provide the poor wanderer with shelter. And when you see the naked, to clothe them.
Yes.
And not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. See, he's telling us here, I want you to love people. See?
Yes.
Yes. You cover the naked person.
Yes, that's right.
Not only physically, even the sinner, even your brother in church that has had a problem. You cover him, you love, you take care, you protect. Amen?
Yes.
And when you do that, when you love, what would be the outcome? Verse 8, then, if you do that, if you love, then your light will break forth like the dawn, your healing will quickly appear, then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. So if you love, the result will be that you will see the glory. Because love precedes glory. Love is the source of glory. Amen? So as we love, we are preparing ourselves to inherit the glory of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So I want us to set our eyes on that, you see. Don't look for power. Don't look for those things that elevate you or that give you more authority and more grandeur. Look for love. Seek love. If you seek love, you'll find God's heart.
Amen.
And if you find his heart, glory would be the outcome of it. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. And so, just quickly here, I want to go somewhere, but quickly here, just three things not to forget, because the glory has been restored by the sacrifice of Jesus, which is expression of his love on the cross. Three things we should not forget if we want to see that glory restored is, first, that Jesus in that redemption said, I'm giving you here a new covenant. It's the covenant in his blood. So we have a new covenant. Stay under the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
And the other thing he said, I'm giving you also a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. So stay in that new commandment. You have a new covenant and you have a new commandment.
Yes.
And then Paul will explain later that we are going from glory to glory when we keep our eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
He says that we all, with unveiled faces, beholding him like in a mirror, we are changed from glory to glory.
Amen.
So in that restoration of glory, which is the fruit of love, just stay with the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Stay with the new commandment and keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
That's pretty simple, right?
Yeah.
I like simple preaching.
Yeah.
Amen? Because we can get it. Stay under the blood.
Yeah.
Stay with the new commandment.
Yeah.
And keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to share with you three things that happened in my life that connected the love of God with the glory. He made it very plain and clear to me. The first one was when he saved me. I was coming out of the drug world. I was a cocaine addict. I was a cocaine dealer. At that time, I was separated from my wife. And I was at my lowest point. I was 27 years old. I was not in good shape. I was not a good person at all, and I was lost. I was at the gates of hell, and my younger brother, who had given his life to the Lord, came one day to my apartment. He was living at the other end of the country, and he came back for me, and he entered my apartment the first Sunday of January 87. I was 27 years old. And he entered and didn't even say hello. He just commanded me. You know, sometimes, maybe not every time, but sometimes you have to be direct with some people. He commanded me. He said, put your coat on. I'm bringing you to church.
Yes.
And so I didn't resist because I didn't have much resistance left in me at that stage of my life. And I put my coat on. I went into the car. His wife was waiting in the car. They had driven from BC to Quebec, which was about a 1 week drive. It's like from California to here, you know. And so I went in the car on our way to that little church. We picked up another cocaine dealer of our friends, and here we are going to that church. My brother said, I don't know the church. I've been gone for many years now. I found the church in the phone book. We'll see if it's a good church or not. So we entered that little church of about 30 people, maybe not even 30. A very tiny little church, you know, but really heated with praise and worship and the Pentecostal way, you know what I mean, and the old roots, you know, and the people worshiping hard, you know, and lifting their hands and speaking in tongues. And here we are in that tiny little church. And and so during the worship, my brother suddenly falls to the floor, bang, and nobody moves. I'm saying it must be part of the experience. And then I turned to my friend who was the other coke dealer, and he had his hair, you know, long, like in the back, like that, and his face was just wet with tears. And I looked at him and said, oh, he's getting something too, you know? Something's happening in this place. And so the people were worshiping and all that. And that didn't bother me because I have no time here to explain, but I had been in many places, traveled, and seen many strange things in my life. So the Pentecostalism and all that, well, I couldn't take it at that point, you know? And so they were worshiping, and I felt they were sincere. I felt, I said, these are good people. These are good people, and they are sincere. I felt their sincerity in their worship. And in those days, it was the projectors, how you call them? The overhead, the transparency. You know those things that you always, the first time you put the plate, it's always reversed, and you turn it, and it's backwards, and turn it again, and then it goes to the ceiling, goes back to the wall, you know? Yeah, you're old enough, you've been through that. Huh? Yeah. There you go. And so I was looking at the words on the wall, and my goodness, every song was about Jesus. They really like Jesus in this place, you know. They sing about Jesus. Almost every line is about Jesus, basically. And they put the word Jesus bigger than the other words, don't they? You know, and I was starting to having an experience I didn't know. I just was looking at that, and that suddenly that word Jesus was becoming bigger. And after a while, you know, that's all I could see, Jesus, was a big word. It took all the screen, you know. And suddenly I had an experience, and it's like the worship was vanishing, you know. The you hear it in the background, like in a movie, and the scene was changing, and suddenly there was this man standing in front of me, and I knew who he was.
Yeah.
I could see the marks in his hands.
Wow.
And he was just standing there.
Yes.
And he was so pure and so holy.
Yes.
And I felt the worst sinner of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt. I'm a sinner. And he's holy. And I said, why do you come to me, Lord? Now, it's too late for me. It is too late. Why do you come to me? And he didn't say a word. And he made a step towards me. And I said, no, 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 you don't come close to me. I am filthy. And if you come closer to me, my filth will come on you, will touch you. And that can't happen. I don't want to be someone that put filth on you. Don't come to me. and he made one step closer. He was right in front of me, and I kind of panicked and said, what's your problem? You can't see? You don't see my heart? You cannot see that my heart is dirty. You don't see that? And at that moment, he spoke, and he said, give me your heart.
Amen.
And I started to weep.
Yes.
And I cried, and I said, yes, you can have it. He took me into his arms, and I felt the waves of his love going through me. It was his love that I was feeling. His love went through me. And it seemed all my sin was coming out of me. He was washing me with his love. And I was saying inside of me, I've never known a love like that. It's like, who wants this heart? It's a damaged heart. It's a heart good for garbage. It's a sinful heart. And he wants my heart. And he was washing me with his love. And I remember telling him through my tears, no one ever loved me like that. And if you are to love me in such a way, I will attach myself to your side. And wherever you go, I will go with you. And you'll never be able to get rid of me. And I was back in that church. And I was a new man. He had saved me. He had renewed me. And I knew it. In that short experience, everything had become clear to me. I was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I belonged to Him.
Yeah.
I was a new creature.
Yeah.
I was detoxicated from all drugs. It was as like I had never taken it of my life.
Yes. Yes.
For me, it was not progressive. Now, for some people, they need a journey. We understand that. For me, it was a miracle. And the moment I stepped out of the church that morning after the service and I touched the sidewalk, the thought came to me, my wife. Oh, what have I done with my life? My wife. Because we were separated. So that same week I went to see her because we still saw each other. And I didn't know how to tell her because I was such a manipulator. You know, I was such a liar. When you're a drug addict. And when a drug addict comes to you and say, I have changed, you know. But I told her that. And I met Jesus, I said. And I didn't push it more than that. And that same week, she cared enough for me to go and check it out for herself. Just to see in what have we entered this time. And she went to a Bible school, a Bible study that night, you know, a Bible study. And the pastor's wife was doing that Bible study, and she was teaching on Romans chapter 1, explaining that it's because we have not recognized God, did not worship Him, that we have been turned to our reprobate minds and are lost. And suddenly the light came in her, and she said, I understood suddenly why this mess in the world, what was the reason for it? And she gave her life to the Lord. Hallelujah. And soon we were back together, and the Lord restored our life. And so anyway, we're still in that same church. We never left that church. Over time, we became the leaders of that church. But that first story I wanted to tell you is for that. The only thing that the Lord asked me was for my heart. He didn't make it complicated. That's the only thing. Just give me your heart. Keep your heart for me. And so as I continued in my Christian life, became a leader, eventually a teacher, wrote books and all that, sometimes, you know, you become a theologian, you become smart, you know. And now, I have nothing against theologian. I'm kind of one in my spare time. But but sometimes the Lord comes to me and say, Alain, do you remember what I asked you when we first met? I said, yes, Lord, I remember. What was it? Remind me. I said, well, you asked me for my heart, Lord. He said, yes. Did I ask you for anything else after? I said, no, you never asked for anything else. So he said, just keep your heart for me. You see, that's the main thing, is love. That was the entrance for me to know His glory. The entrance was love. The glory now is I experience in life the manifestation of God and His glorious manifestation in many ways, but it came from His love where He asked me for my heart. Then, 12 years after that, it was time for me to become the pastor of that church. Amazing thing, you know, the founding pastor, our spiritual parents, found it fit to transfer the church to us, my wife and I. 12 years we were Christians. And so I was very excited when you see a promotion like that, you know, I'm going to be a pastor. That's, you know, I was proud, you know, of me. You know, it's okay to be happy to serve the Lord, you know. There's people who had laying of hands yesterday, you know. You rejoice, you know, you take it. It's good, you know. So don't be too humble, like religiously humble. No, it's the Lord, you know. I rejoice. I mean, it's a good thing to serve God. So I was so happy to be a pastor, you know, celebration. And then I thought about it again, and whoa, that's a big job.
Yeah.
Pastor, I mean, this church, I would be responsible for the people. Whoa, wait a minute here, I need to pray, you know. I figured it was serious all of a sudden. So I prayed and said, Lord, what are your instructions? And I thought maybe he would give me a 2-page of instructions, you know. Like, it's an important job. He'll probably lay out, you know, 15 points or something that I must not forget, you know, and then the review, you know, every week or something. And so I prayed a bit like Solomon, you know, met with the Lord, and the Lord visited me. And so I said, what's your instruction? As I'm now in ministry, you know. And he said, love my people.
Amen.
Amen.
I said, is that all? I said, yeah.
Yes.
That's all I want you to do. I want you to love my people. Mm-hmm. And it's like I felt his heart on that. It's like when he spoke to Peter, you know. He says, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And it's like the Lord is becomes so tender at times, you know. It's like almost talking to his friend Peter, my good friend. Take care of my sheep.
Yes.
I'm going. I'll give you my spirit. I mean, take care of my sheep. That's how I felt it when God said to me, love my people. Would you love my people? Would you please love my people? And he said, if you love them, they will follow you wherever you want to lead them, because they will feel that love.
That's right.
And that's how I also understood again that for God, that love thing is so important.
Yes.
I mean, that's the only instruction he gave me. For my life, give me your heart. For the ministry, love my people.
Yes.
It's amazing. And glory is only an outcome of love.
Absolutely.
Then in between those two experiences, I also had another encounter with the Lord one day. And I was serving in a Christian school. So from my salvation to 1 year and a half after, they asked me to be the director of their Christian school. So from a cocaine addict to... we're giving you our children, you know. So, some people have faith, you know. So I took the job, and it was a tiny little Christian school, ACE program. Some of you may know that, yeah. And so for 9 years, I was the director of that school. For 9 years, it was my training, really. oh, it was hard at times, you know. I was in the process of being a true Christian, you know, and learning the Bible, you know. I was doing a devotion every morning with the kids, so it was as much for me as for them, you know. I was learning the stuff, and you know, I lived with those kids. I mean, I taught them in the ACE school way. I had monitors working with me as well. We had kindergarten, we had the elementary up to grade 12. We had all that. So you live with them, you eat with them at lunchtime, you go with them to the park, you do field trips with them, you score their test. I mean, your whole week is with the kids, you know? Yeah. And kids are wonderful, you know, especially when they're your kids. And all kids are wonderful, but sometimes after a while, you get a little tired, you know. After a few years, because I was there 9 years, after a few years, you know, some of the kids sometimes, they rubbed on me the wrong way, you know? And some of the parents too, I must say. And, you know, and I came to a place where I said, Lord, you got me trapped here. Like, you played a trick on me. I'm stuck here. I want to be a great man of God. I mean, I want to have my name on the billboard, you know? Like, and I'm stuck with kids. Have you saved me so gloriously not to hide me in that little tiny Christian school that nobody knows I exist, and that's my life? Are you kidding me? And so I started not to like my life anymore, you know. I was going to work in the morning and I was not happy. Sometimes I was weeping in my car driving to the school, church school, you know. And every day in that school we were supposed to give a good word to every child, every day. You need a lot of good words, you know, after a few years. And some of them, to be really honest with you, were getting on my nerves. And I didn't find any more good words to say. But criticisms, I was holding them back. I had a full bag of them, you know. I'm going to give you detention, you know. You know, you reach that place where you're like that, you know, and you don't like the kids anymore, honestly. You don't want to serve the Lord. You want to serve the Lord, but nothing. You want another ministry. You want a promotion, you know. You want to go in the big leagues, you know. And so I was becoming miserable, really. I was, my life was not fun. And so I was becoming angry. And snappy, you know, and that's not good. I had enough common sense to say that's not good. And so I asked my pastor to come and pray with me. I said, I can't anymore. I mean, I feel stuck. I want to serve the Lord. What can I do else than serve the Lord? But I feel trapped now in this ministry that I don't like anymore. Like, I don't want to do anymore. I want to be a man of God, and I feel like I'm stuck here and I'm not happy. Could you come and pray with me? So we went to the basement. We had that same church was three basement, first and second. The school was mainly on the second floor, then the meeting room for chapel time, the first floor, and then the place we ate in the basement. So we went to the basement, left the kids in the learning center with the monitors, and started to pray, and mainly opening my heart to God, just saying how I felt, you know, and please help me. I'm not happy. It's not going well. And suddenly I felt the heavens were opening over me, and He was sending showers of His love on me. He was just coming down in my heart with such a love. And I started to weep and to sob. And my pastor was just having his hand on me. I was just praying in tongues, I guess. I was weeping for a long time, for maybe 15, 20 minutes. When you lose it, you weep. And when I kind of came back to my senses, I opened my eyes and it seemed that everything was glorious all around. Everything was sparkling. Everything was like shining with gold everywhere I was looking at. And my heart had been changed. All the negativity, all the criticism I had, everything was gone, and I was filled with His love. He had visited me with a baptism of love. And so I went back up to the learning center, and when I entered there, and I looked at the kids there, they were like little angels. They were working. There was no noise in the learning center, and I looked at them and they seemed to me like the most beautiful children of the world. See, they had not changed. Nothing had changed except my heart had changed. I had received a baptism of love. I wanted to take them all in my arms. I wanted to hug them. I love them with a love that's not normal. I love them with a passion. I love them like you love till it hurts. You know, every one of them, all of them, every single one of them, I loved. And I could not explain how much I love those kids. And that lasted and never left. And I stayed there a few more years serving, and I was at total peace.
Yes.
I was saying to God, I remember a few years after that, I said, Lord, I'm so happy here. You have blessed me so much that, you know, I don't know the plans you have for me, but if you find it good for me to be a school director in the Christian school for the rest of my life, it's good with me, Lord. I'm at total peace. I love them. And that was real. And you know that never left me after that, for all the years that followed, even when I became a pastor, entered ministry, that never left me. Now I have my ups and downs, like everyone, you know, but that pool of love, that baptism of love, never left me. And so many times I preach, and I even in the congregation that I have at home, and I look at the people, and I have this experience that comes again and again. I see people shine. I see the glory, because the glory is an expression. It comes from the love. And I love God's people, and I understand when He said, love my people.
Yeah.
That is the most beautiful thing. Yeah. When you look at the people of God, it is the most beautiful people on the surface of the earth.
That's right.
And you love His people, and you see the glory on them.
Yes.
And I believe that's the way to live. Amen. As we serve the Lord.
Amen.
And if there's something that I could give you, that I could impart to you, it would be that love of God beyond all the revelations of the heavenly things and the apostolic advances. It would be the love of God.
Amen.
It's the most precious treasure.
Yes. Yes.
And I would like you to receive even more of that love that you all have, that we all share. But when God comes with a baptism of love, He changes our lives forever, you see.
Yes.
You don't see things the same way. You forgive easy. People offend you, it hurts, but you heal quickly. You see, you think the best of people. People tell you something about someone, and you say, oh, you find a way to explain that, no, I'm sure he didn't mean that, you know, I'm sure, or maybe his heart is upset, it'll be okay. You think good of people, you see. You cover people, you love them. And it's not a task anymore. If any one of you is serving and is tired and finds it has become a task to serve, it's not a task to serve God, it's a privilege.
Yes.
When you love His people, it's a grace, because it's out of love, you know. And you reach that place in your life that that you do not look anymore for your success. You do not look anymore for your development. You look for the advancement of the dear people of God. You look at people and you so love them that they are precious to you just as your own flesh and blood, you see? That you look at the, and if you come to my age, I'm still young, I'm 63, but I'm old enough to enter in that place where my joy is in my children, in my sons and daughters, in the Lord. And my joy is to see them grow and to see them succeed. That's my joy today. That's my greatest joy, because I love them and I love God's people. And that's what I would like to pray for you, so that when you leave here, you have a richer deposit of that love, you know. And I cannot transfer that to you except being a witness like I am now. I have been visited by a baptism of love many years ago, and it had never left me. Amen. And I'm witnessing to you, but only God can transfer. We can pray that heavens will open to us and that He will come and fill us with more and more, because this is an infinity of love. It's a reserve that has no boundaries. His love. For the rest of our life and in eternity, we will explore His love, and we will never see the extent of it. That's why Paul said, oh, the depth, oh, the length, oh, the width, oh, the height of God's love. I find not the boundaries of it, you see. Forever we will discover His love, and to where it fills everything. Amen. Yes. So I would like to pray for all of us here that we will receive that, because when you have that, you see, it's really easy to serve the Lord. I'll tell you, serving the Lord is the most beautiful life. You know, I hear people say ministry is hard, you know. Well, yes, it is hard, but it's the most beautiful thing, you know, like being, some pastors burn out, you know. I'll tell you what, if you have that baptism of love, you'll never burn out.
Amen.
You don't burn out when you have love. You don't. It's the most precious life to serve the Lord, you know. And so I want to pray for that. Maybe we can come on the keyboard again and just to play and help us here in that atmosphere of worship. And I will pray that the heavens will open on us, and that God would just visit us. May it be now, in this moment, or in the time coming, that we would be visited with this baptism of love. Would you want that?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I mean, it seems that everything comes after that. That it is the thing that this world needs to see, you know? We're looking for tools to evangelize or to bring the harvest, but Jesus said they will know you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. See, when we can be that people of God that the world looks at and says, see how they love each other. Do you see that?
Yes.
See the love they have. And that what draws them to who God is through that love. But we've got to have that love inside of us. So Father, we just realize that you're the God of love. It's your essence. When we go to the heart of who you are, we find love. It's amazing. No other God has that. The gods of this world, some of them have power, not like you, but they do have power. They do have some authority in what they lord over. Some of them even have some form of wisdom, but they don't have love. You're the only one, because you are love. And as you have sent your Son out of your love for us, Now we can enter and taste and be filled with that love. So I pray now, Lord, that even as you came to me one day with a baptism of love that has changed me forever, I pray for my dear brothers and sisters here, those in ministry, those who serve the Lord, those who love you here, that you would open the heavens above us, and that you would let your love come down inside of us and around us, that we would enter into this baptism of love together, Father, that we would be changed again and again by that love. And as we receive it today, Lord, we let go of everything that's not of your love. We let go of the offenses that came down our way and hurt us. We release forgiveness, Father, to the one who offended us. We release forgiveness to the one who caused us pain. We release forgiveness to that person. We release forgiveness in that situation. We clear the slate. We release and we send love. We release love instead and we receive your love. We ask that you fill the chambers of our hearts, Father, that you would go everywhere in our house and that you would fill it with your love.
Yes.
That you would melt our hearts right now, Father. Come, O love of God. Come and fill our hearts afresh and again, and expand our hearts. Extend the borders of our hearts today, we pray, that we may contain more of your love now, that we may become a bigger reservoir of that love, that we may, Lord, be in a position to manifest your glory from the source of love. We pray that all pride yields the way to your love. We pray that all insecurity be cured by your love right now in Jesus' name. We pray that all need of acceptance be met by your love right now. We pray that all lack of identity in us be cured by your love right now, Father. We pray that our significance be revealed in your love, and that we would forget ourselves in that love and look at those you desire, and that we would be carriers of that love, that we would be vessels of your love, that we would be your arms to this world and your heartbeat to our nations. Let your love be established in our house right now, Father. I pray, Lord, that you send showers of that love right now on us. There's a heart that is open to receive that shower of love. There's another heart that is open to receive that shower of love. Many hearts are opening right now to receive that shower of love from heaven, from the throne of grace. Lord, let it come down. Let it flood our hearts. Let it flood our hearts. Let it flood our lives, Lord. Let it dwell inside of our hearts in Jesus' name. Let it fill our life totally, Father, that we would never be the same again. That we would live not only with the belief of what you revealed, but also with the experience of who you are dwelling inside of us. And you said, my Father and I, we will come and we will dwell with you. Just as we are together, you will be with us, and I in you and you in us, and we will be one, and you will taste and know what love is, and we'll receive it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And we know that what we receive from you will never be taken away from us.
Yes. That's right.
What you give us is ours forever. All the measures of love, all the waves are ours forever. And it is going in increase and increase because there's no end. Thank you, Lord, because we're touching eternity now.
Yes.
We are touching the immensity.
Yes.
That has no boundaries of your heart. And we enter into it and we swim into it.
Yes.
And we let the water carry us in that ocean of love right now. Carry us, Holy Spirit. Carry us in that love. Bring us to the places that you have prepared for us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray for everyone here as we will in a short while go our way, that this love is traveling with us forever. I bless you, people of God. What a privilege to be with you. You are God's favorites. He loves you. He cannot love you more. He loves you for all eternity. He loved you before you came. You were in his heart already, and you'll never be taken out of there forever. He thought of you. He thinks of you. You're in front of his eyes. He dreams of you. He's prepared for you everything. You are his. He says, you are mine. You are mine. And I love you. Receive that today in the name of Jesus and live with it. I bless you with that. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hey,
praise
the Lord.
The way to leave here is in the heart of God.
Yes.
In his love. And so I know we've all been touched and changed in his presence. We can't help but go from glory to glory in his presence.
Amen.
It's been so good to be here with you all. I feel like the family has come together. I don't know how else to explain it, but at a Thanksgiving meal where we just all come together. I enjoy when on that celebration of Thanksgiving to God, we get around the table with the entire family, my great-grandchildren, my grandchildren, my children, and even some friends, and we're just sitting around the table enjoying each other's presence. I feel like I'm sitting at the Father's table. And the heart of God says, I love you. I love you. And do you know, all the problems go away in the love of God. Hallelujah. Thank you for being here. You have helped make this time so precious. I have talked to you on videos and I've heard from your stories and testimonies of what God is doing, but there's nothing like being in person together and enjoying your smiles and the joy that God has put in your hearts. So we are just excited about this time. And I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do next. Yes. Oh, okay. It'll wait on. Will it wait on us? No. Okay, we're going to pray.
Food, the takeout, just everybody go and get what you want.
Okay, there's takeouts, just grab what you want so you can go if you need to. And they did say if you do not need to run and want to fellowship there, you're welcome to do so. So let's stand together. Let's just stand together. You know, after you've been baptized with his love, you're going to have to You're so full, you're going to have to let some of it out. And there's a group here that would just enjoy that hug, that embrace, that encouragement. I learned something. I often do not have a word to say to someone when they have a need of love and compassion. But I found out that just a tight grip around them and say, I love you, I pray with you, will speak a whole lot louder than anything this mind can think of. And so, love on somebody today. Father, we thank you so much. Lord, we thank you that you overcame every difficulty that we faced to be here. Your hand has provided it all. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for the love that we have received. I just pray a blessing on each as they leave this place. Until you bring us together again, we remember that which has taken place in Ukraine from that video. Father, I know your heart is just full of love for those individuals. I pray over Jim and Sandy, Lord. I thank you that you're the God that will meet every need that they have. I pray for the needs that are in this place, Lord. As they leave here, your provision will find them. Your provision will go with them. But we will be baptized in your love. And Lord, we thank you that you're a loving and a gracious and a merciful God. Now be with each and every. I pray a blessing upon this house. Not just financial, but Lord, I just pray that as you have rent the heavens, you continue to pour out your spirit upon each and every one. I thank you for the move, an evangelistic move that will take place in this community. And souls for your kingdom.
Fill this place.
In Jesus' mighty name. I pray over Alon. Lord, bless him abundantly. Father, as he continues on his pathway home, that you would go before him. I pray for his family, Lord. I pray a blessing upon them. I pray the love of Christ to just overshadow them in a mighty way. I pray for his wife, Lord. Strengthen her. Encourage her. Father, I thank you for the anointing that's on their marriage to be able to be in this ministry. God, we don't take it for just happening. We know that it is your love and your compassion that has knitted their hearts together to permit this. I just pray for each leader that is in this place. May they go back and may they just open with the love of Christ as they step into their place of ministry. God, let the people say, wow, the love that is flowing from them. Because you receive all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.